it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to WCCO News Talk 830. Dave Harrigan and I were talking before the break about a number of things. We're going to continue that discussion, but we want to invite you into the discussion as well, and you can do that most efficiently by using the WCCO Talk and Text line. It's 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. And I've got this screen up in front of me, so we'd be happy to take your questions or comments. And if you could make them civil, we'd appreciate that, so we don't have to, you know, plow through a bunch of profanity or whatever, Dave. So try to be decent.
Try.
So, but one of the texters before the break, Dave, was commenting on the phenomena in politics, whether it's national or statewide in Minnesota, where one party or the other has advantage in terms of a map. You look at the state of Minnesota as an example. A lot of the election results, there's a sea of red, kind of in greater Minnesota, rural Minnesota, and big blotches, or should say small blotches of blue in the Twin Cities and some of the regional centers. And then they can't get their brains around, well, how do we lose the election when I see so much red on the map and only, you know, called 6 to 8 counties are blue?
Land and doesn't vote.
And so while that is a little unsettling, it does go to this point. You can't win elections by only doing well in places where not many people live. You have to do also well, get support from locations and areas where lots of people live, because it's a math exercise. So the thing about the Twin Cities, the big parts of it are, in fact, blue. St. Paul, Minneapolis, the first-ring suburbs, the second-ring suburbs, even some of the third-ring suburbs have kind of gone DFL. And then the rest of the state, much of the rest of the state is red, except when you look at the so-called regional centers where lots of population is, namely places like Rochester,
Duluth,
Mankato, Duluth. Morehead used to be Republican, more recently Democrat, St. Cloud. And so those blue dots, even though they're small in an election map, you know, matter a lot. And so it's a math exercise. And I know it's different when you carve up the state with legislative districts or congressional districts, sometimes gerrymandered to favor one party or the other. But the reality is, my party especially can't just win in areas where population is sparse. You've got to be able to also win where population is more dense. Otherwise, you don't get enough votes in a place like Minnesota to carry the day in a statewide election.
Sure. And you being the last Republican here to win a statewide election, were there differences in what your campaign did to try to get votes from the population centers, the bigger, you know, obviously the Twin Cities, what we mentioned, Rochester, Duluth, et cetera, versus what you see now? Or was it simply just a matter of candidate, of people could see you as a Republican, but more on the moderate side to, you know, the last Republicans that have run for a lot of the statewide offices, and even the moderates in the metro areas said no?
Well, I think a lot has changed. And of course, it always does. Political movements evolve and change over time. Parties change over time. If you look about, you know, John Kennedy was a pro-life, pro-military interventionist, tax cutter, and other things that he would not get nominated by today's Democratic Party. And conversely, Ronald Reagan, sort of a icon of the Republican Party not too long ago, you know, was pro-choice when he was governor of California. He raised taxes as president. He signed a huge immigration amnesty bill when he was president. And so he probably would not get the nomination of today's Republican Party. And again, it all evolves and changes. So you can't say what happened in the past is what should be now or even in the future. But as, to your point, I think the biggest change in the political shift in Minnesota has been the Republicans losing support in second and third ring suburbs. So where I live in Eagan, you know, there wasn't that long ago that Eagan was Republican, Apple Valley was Republican as an example. And if my party, you know, can't win St. Paul and can't win Minneapolis in the near term, and you can't win the first ring suburbs, at the very least, you've got to be able to claw back support in places like the second and third ring suburbs. You can't wait until you get to the exurbs, you know, like Farmington or Rogers before you start getting Republican support. So, and what does that mean? It's complicated, but one thing it means is suburban voters, those swing voters in the suburbs, not the partisans, but the last 5% that could sort of go either way, they're concerned about certain bread and butter things that, you know, sway elections. And you got to understand who they are. They tend to be women, you know, disproportionately this group, the swing voters in the in those suburbs.
Are you saying women can't decide anything?
That's no. I'm just saying.
I'm hearing, Tim.
No, that's
what I'm hearing.
Oh, my gosh, David. Please. No.
Really not kind.
No, but I'll be real. It's blunt. It is certainly economic issues, but it's partly the abortion issue. Mm-hmm. It's partly a crime and safety issue and being able to resonate with a Republican candidate who, you know, fits that profile of that voter, or at least has the views of that voter, would help, I think, my party.
Now, it's interesting because you talked about the second and third ring suburbs. Is the change, those getting a little more blue, is that simply because you think Republicans have lost voters or Democrats have gained voters, changed minds, I guess? Or is it just a cause of our metro areas are growing? You got blue in the center, and the blue has been just kind of pushing out, people moving out of the city centers.
Some of both, I think.
And then kind of taking over, okay, well, we already took over the first ring suburbs. Those are getting a little busy, so let's move a little further out. And it's just kind of the blue expanding out wider.
I think that's both are true. I think what I said was true. We lost some support because of positions that we've taken or candidates that we've run, and sort of the phenomena of the urban voter profile is moving out into the first ring and second ring suburbs. Another example is my hometown of South St. Paul. I mean, back when I was there, it was certainly Democrat, but it was sort of what you'd consider the old labor Democrats. They were very strong pro-union voters, but they weren't necessarily economic or social liberals beyond that. And so they elected people that would be sort of a blue dog Democrat type of candidates from a place like South St. Paul. South St. Paul's changing. It's now looking more urban, or looking more blue in terms of a progressive outlook in terms of the voters. So that has not just Republicans losing support. It's also a population shift that reflects more of a progressive voter profile.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you leave South St. Paul because you didn't want to be associated with Adam Carter, or was it just Mayor Jimmy Francis you can't take?
Well, you know, I love both of those guys, and you know, I don't want to.
You don't
brag.
Have to say that.
I don't want
this
to.
This is
brag.
A safe place.
Yeah, I don't want to be immodest, Dave. It's not my style. But in just a few hours, a high school sports team that I was on is going to be inducted into the South St. Paul Sports Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah, we don't need to spend too much time on it, really, really. But
congratulations. which squad was this?
This was the South St. Paul 1978-79 high school soccer team, coached by none other than the legendary Doug Woog.
He coached soccer?
Yes, he coached soccer and did not know a lot about soccer, but he applied hockey principles to soccer. And
heck of a motivator, I'm sure.
The rest of the story is there was a year, the golden year, which I think is why we're getting inducted later today. We went 22-0, undefeated the entire year. Mm-hmm. Went to the state championship out in Richfield, the tournament was, and we lost 1-0 in a weathery, wet, kind of half snowy game. And we lost to a middling team named Cooper. And later in politics, I met that person. He came up to me and he said, you know who I am? I said, no. He said, I'm that goalie from Cooper. And he stood on his head. I mean, he was an outstanding goalie that day. And I said, oh, man, that's harsh. And he said, I'll tell you something else harsh. He said, I don't support you in politics either.
Oh, I beat you then. I'll beat you again. Were you a vital member of the team?
I
grew up playing soccer. Let me tell you, no talent. I was a goalie and defender because I could get in the – I learned how to get in the way of the ball and getting in the goal.
Yeah. My principal skill – I would say there were a few stars on the team for sure, and I wasn't one of those. But I think I was a meaningful contributor in part because I was taller than everyone else. And one of my calling cards was I could get in front of the net and head the ball
Explain some of your political viewpoints, Governor.
Yes, I probably have been concussed. CTE is setting in my brain. Let's talk about a couple of texters here if we have a minute.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock here as well. But, you know, the texters are writing in and talking about, as a lifelong Democrat, he's making a nice comment about our discussion and us. That's very nice. There's also somebody commenting about population centers being taken over by immigrants that vote Democrat. And it's not a level playing field, and that's part of an overall Democratic strategy. You know, that is, there's no question that part of the demographic change. I mean, there's futurists always say, if you want to see the future, look at demographics. You can also look at certain areas of the country where they sort of are ahead of the Midwest by 10 or 20 years demographically. There is no question, regardless of what you think about immigration, that the number of immigrants that have come to this country in the last, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years has changed, you know, the demographics of the country. And that includes the voting patterns as well, those immigrants. So, you know, that's what leads into a whole other discussion about immigration. But I think it would be naive to say it hasn't affected voting patterns, at least
no,
at the margins.
No, I think it's fairly obvious. Absolutely it has.
And then this person says, did farmland vote for Trump? Yeah, I mean, most of the farmers, I want to say all of them, but, you know, there's a big divide in farm country or in greater Minnesota, rural Minnesota. There's a group of farmers who I think are very pro-Trump, and there's a group of farmers who are not, but I think the majority of them tend to be supporting President Trump and are Republicans. And the texter writes, well, what about the tariffs hurting those farmers? And I think they are hurting the farmers, and they're getting kind of upset about that. I mean, they are upset about that. And when Trump put tariffs on agricultural products last time in his first term, he sent out cash to farmers to sell, you know, to subsidize or soften the blow of those tariffs. They haven't done that yet this time. They've done a few other little things. But I think, yes, the bulk of the farmers, I would say, support Trump, many of them. But even those are a little miffed right now about what's going on with the tariffs.
Yeah, they have to be. They absolutely have to be. You know, I think a lot of the promises that were made regarding the tariffs and farmers being all right so far, yeah, things can change, but it hasn't been great. Hasn't been great, you know, soybeans specifically. I know China has, you know, seemingly figured out a way to get around U.S. soybeans.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal for a lot of Minnesota farmers.
Well, and a lot of the business is going to Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they are huge producers of many of the same commodities as the U.S. And when China can't get them from us at a reasonable price,
they'll get them elsewhere.
They'll get them elsewhere. There's a caller or texter who says, it's about our voting rolls in Minnesota. The federal government has sued our Secretary of State about trying to get access to voting rolls because there's a suspicion of, you know, either negligent or mischievous caretaking of the voting rolls in Minnesota. Hasn't been proven yet, but the Secretary of State of Minnesota is fighting that effort. And this texter is saying we've got fraud in our voting rolls in Minnesota. Well, we'll have to wait to see if the federal government can get their hands on that data and see if that's true. But I mean, it's a provocative point.
Yeah, well, if there is fraud, certainly they'll uncover it. We've heard plenty from Donald Trump and his people about fraud in voting, and I haven't seen a lot that's actually shown up to prove their points, but who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a short break, Dave. We'll come back. After the break, we're going to be talking to Jim Schultz, who's the head of the Minnesota Private Business Council, about the business climate and job climate in Minnesota on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.